Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 14th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
investors greet President Trump's trade deal with optimism and skepticism.
Hong Kong rebounds from another round of violence with more protests set for this week.
And WeWork considers a bailout that would hand control of the company to SoftBank.
The U.S. ambassador to the EU plans to testify before Congress this week about Ukraine. Plus, U.S. troops have stepped up their exit from northern Syria. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Houston Astros tied up the ALCS at 1. They beat the Yankees on a Carlos Correa home run in the 11th inning. The Jets' first win, an upset of the Cowboys.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are little changed to lower to start the trading week. The U.S. bond market is closed for Columbus Day. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 1 point, Dow futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 6, the DAX in Germany's down 0.5%, CAC in Paris down 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 is down about 0.5%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 44 cents at $54.26 a barrel. COMEX gold is up a third of a percent or $5.70 at $14.94.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1032 against the dollar. The yen is at 108.26. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with progress on trade negotiations between the U.S. and China that is being met with some skepticism. Over the weekend, President Trump touted his deal with Beijing that could be signed as early as next month. We get details from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
President Trump seems to be pushing back against some of the skepticism and criticism that this partial deal has received. Of course, a big win for President Trump, at least that's the way he's phrased it, are these agricultural purchases. That offer to buy U.S. ag was put on the table by the Chinese 2 years ago. So you could argue that, no, it hasn't materially changed. But what has changed, of course, is the sentiment on the back of this partial deal. So at least some in the markets can breathe something of a sigh of relief that these additional tariffs aren't going to be imposed on October the 15th.
Still on the table, though, is President Trump's threat to put tariffs on all Chinese imports starting December 15th, which would tax a wide range of popular consumer products.
Skepticism about this agreement is being fueled by the muted response from China. A statement from Beijing did not refer to any deal, instead saying only that the two sides have made substantial progress. We get more from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
It's an incredibly cautious and lukewarm response, especially when you contrast it to Trump saying that phase one is on its way to finalization. Phase two is going to be coming soon. Instead, in China, you have the tone from official state media and the official statement saying that there's still a lot of uncertainties ahead, that no one should get too excited here, that Trump could still go back on his word, that China should be prepared for the worst case scenario.
Economists are reacting with a range of skepticism and doubt about what the agreement means for the deteriorating global growth outlook.
Now, President Trump is calling this a phase one deal. So what can we expect from phase two? Andrew Bishop is head of policy research at Signum Global Advisors.
The fact that phase one is in a way underwhelming is not necessarily negative. It allows both parties to have more concessions in stock as phase two negotiations open up, and it increases the odds that they'll be able to reach some sort of agreement in phase two. That said, I do remain skeptical that a phase two agreement will be reached, but that has more to do with China's position and its leverage.
For U.S. companies that make retail goods and apparel, the partial deal isn't doing much to soothe concerns. Rick Helfenbein is CEO of the American Apparel and Footwear Association.
Not much of a relief at all. Look, we are thrilled that everyone went to the Oval. They had a good meeting. They're on track. They're talking. But honestly, we feel like the team that didn't win, we didn't get anything out of this.
Optimists hope this so-called mini deal will pave the way for a bigger agreement in future talks.
Meanwhile, over the weekend in Hong Kong, another round of violent demonstrations marked the 19th straight week of unrest and resulted in one injured police officer. More protests could come this week around remarks from Chief Executive Carrie Lam. Bloomberg's Dan Ten Kate reports from Hong Kong.
We saw similar scenes of violence that we've seen since early June when these protests began. But overall, the numbers were down over the past weekend. They weren't as bad as the previous weekend. This week, the big event is Carrie Lam. She's giving a policy address. People are watching to see whether she has any new solutions that could finally end these protests. Expectations are not very high at all, and protesters are just looking for any reason really to come out on the streets.
And protesters currently plan to hold a rally today at 7 p.m. local time.
On the Brexit front, Prime Minister Boris Johnson's attempt to secure an exit agreement is running into trouble, with the EU warning that talks are still far away from a breakthrough. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is in Brussels with the very latest. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. So we know there were negotiations that continued throughout the weekend, and that is seen as almost a good thing. In terms of the details, the customs, that's where the issues have become apparent. It's a complicated proposal that has been put forward. The EU has always been concerned about how well protected the single market will be after Brexit. It's also interesting that Angela Merkel claimed that after the UK leaves the European Union, it will be a competitor to the EU. So that's one of the reasons why the EU must be protected with this deal.
Brexit talks are in a race against time ahead of a summit scheduled for Thursday. The pound is weaker today. Right now it's trading at 125.79 against the dollar.
And on the corporate front, Bloomberg News has learned WeWork is considering a bailout that would hand control of the company to SoftBank. We get more from a Bloomberg Opinion columnist Tim Culpin.
It looks like the directors of WeWork are going to choose between two possibilities. One would be a debt-style financing package that seems to be led by JP Morgan. Another is essentially a takeover led by SoftBank.
And a person familiar with the matter says SoftBank thinks it can turn things around at WeWork by putting the right financial controls in place. Without a rescue package, WeWork could run out of cash as soon as next month. And right now, futures are little changed to lower. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 3, NASDAQ futures down 7. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%, CAC in Paris down 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.4%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, will testify in front of Congress this week about the Ukraine situation. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
He's expected to tell Congress that his text message saying there was no quid pro quo in the interactions was based solely on what President Donald Trump told him to say in a telephone conversation. Democratic Congressman John Garamendi says the president will be impeached.
There clearly was a strong arm, an extortion underway.
But Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin says the focus should be on the Bidens.
That Hunter Biden, with no energy experience, with no Ukraine experience, gets paid at least $50,000 a month from a corrupt company.
Hunter Biden, meanwhile, says he will step down from all of his foreign work if his father Joe wins the presidency. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
U.S. troops have stepped up their exit from northern Syria. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says President Trump has directed U.S. troops in northern Syria to begin to withdraw as safely and quickly as possible. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan reports it comes as the international community continues its criticism of Turkey's military operation.
President Donald Trump said the Treasury is ready to go with sanctions on Turkey in response to its incursion into Syria. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has also called for an immediate end to the military operation during a phone call with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And according to four officials familiar with the discussions, European Union leaders may decide on an arms embargo on Turkey as soon as this week. In Istanbul, Simin Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In New Orleans, another crane is being brought in to prop up the Hard Rock Hotel still under construction following the deadly collapse of part of the structure Saturday. Mayor LaToya Cantrell said two people are dead.
This is some of our family's worst day of their lives right now. And we're just asking residents, you know, love on your family. You know, hug one another as well.
One person remains missing. Japan is sending more than 110,000 people, including its self-defense forces, to tackle rescue and cleanup operations in the wake of a powerful typhoon that has left at least 40 people dead. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, it was a long night in Houston. Yankees and Astros played for nearly 5 hours. There were no runs scored for a five-inning stretch. There were not even any hits for four straight innings. Yanks got one in the 11th inning. They had two on, but Gary Sanchez struck out. A called third strike. They looked outside, but Sanchez had gotten a break earlier on a foul ball call that he clearly had missed. Jay Happ was the Yankees' ninth pitcher of the game. He had worked out of a jam in the 10th inning after Jonathan Loaisiga had issued two walks, so Happ was still on the mound in the 11th.
Outfield shaded the other way. And deep, first pitch. And Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall. Looking out. See you later! See you later! See you later! See you later! Astros even the series at a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th. 3-2, Astros win it!
Astros radio the call. Correa had a walk-off hit in Houston in Game 2 of the ALCS, the Yankees, 2 years ago. Game 3 starts tomorrow, 4 o'clock. At the stadium tonight, first league championship series game ever played in Washington, D.C. Nationals up 2-0 on the Cardinals. The Jets' first win of the season was a 26-24 upset of Dallas. Came down to a missed two-point conversion attempt by the Cowboys in the final minute. Jets thrilled to get Sam Darnold back from mono. He was 23 of 32, 338 yards. His 92-yard TD pass to Robbie Anderson, second longest play from scrimmage in Jets history. An upset last night, the Steelers had to play an undrafted rookie quarterback in Devlin Hodges, led them to a 24-17 win over the L.A. Chargers. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, over the weekend, Tencent Holdings live streamed two NBA games played outside China, even as the nation's top broadcaster shuns the league because of a controversy surrounding Hong Kong's pro-democracy movement. Chinese social media company aired a game between the Bulls and Raptors and another between Maccabi Tel Aviv and the Minnesota Timberwolves. S&P futures are lower by almost 2 points. Dow futures down 8. This is Bloomberg. Sports is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures are little changed to lower this morning, down about a point right now. Dow futures are down 6. NASDAQ futures down 6 as well. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.4%. Stocks in Asia rose across the region today on the heels of that partial trade agreement between the U.S. and China. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from Singapore. And good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index ex-Japan, which was closed for a holiday, gained around 1%, with markets in Hong Kong, mainland China, Taiwan, and South Korea all rising. Chinese stocks and the yuan gained as September's trade balance came in higher than expected, although imports and exports shrank more than expected in the month due to the impact of existing US tariffs and the ongoing slowdown in global trade. Here in Singapore, the nation narrowly avoided a technical recession as GDP grew 0.6% in the quarter, while the monetary authority eased for the first time since 2016 and signalled further easing ahead. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. The US bond market closed today for a holiday. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9%. Or 51 cents at $54.20 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $6 to $14.94.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1035 against the dollar. British pound 1.2574. And the yen is at 108.26. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Members of Congress are expressing concern that possible sanctions on Turkey mentioned by President Trump may be too late to stop the bloodshed in northern Syria. Critics say President Trump's decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria gave Turkey the green light to attack American allied Kurdish militias. Lawmakers say they're concerned about the fate of the Kurds and what signal Trump's action sends to the U.S. allies. The U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, plans to hand over key documents to Congress about its text messages involving Ukraine. In baseball, the AL Championship Series is even at a game apiece. The Astros won 3-2 on a walk-off home run in the 11th inning over the Yankees. The Nationals host the Cardinals tonight for Game 3 of the NLCS. Washington leads that series 2-0. In the NFL, the Jets, Redskins, Ravens, and 49ers all won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. James Bevan is our guest this morning. He's Chief Investment Officer at CCLA Investment Management. And just as we begin speaking, James, this red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. China says it wants more talks before signing President Trump's Phase One trade agreement. And now we are starting to see futures contracts on Wall Street begin to lose some ground on that news. What is your take on this handshake deal between the U.S. and China?
I'm afraid I was concerned that the absence of real detail said that this was much more about sound bites than reality. And indeed, we have had some confirmatory statements over the weekend that it was going to be very difficult to move this forward with great comfort. I mean, after all, we had Robert Lighthizer saying in the Oval Office that the planned tariff increases in December on electronics, apparel, and other imported consumer goods should become a huge uncertainty for many U.S. firms, hadn't been shelved. And so I was obviously concerned that we had lots of apparent news, but no real substance.
So what will you be looking for in terms of substance to see whether this can be a deal that sticks?
Well, I would say that there are two rather separate asks from an investor's point of view. The first is it would be very nice to see any incremental tariffs and restrictions taken off the table for the foreseeable future. And that at least would leave us in a position where we were no worse off than we are today. And that is quite possible because we just need all parties to say, actually, let's just sit back, have a breather, and think about where to go. I think that the much bigger ask, which markets would dearly like and which would propel a new leg of the bull market, would be some rollback from the tariffs that had already been imposed. Now, I think the probability of that latter shift is remarkably low coming into a U.S. election year. I don't think that Mr. Trump will want to give a deal that looks too easy, and I would anticipate that President Xi, playing a very long-term game, will not be prepared to concede what the U.S. wants.
So then if the tariffs that have already been imposed stay in place, where do you see equities going in that scenario?
I think so long as we don't get a further deterioration in margins caused probably by an acceleration in wages relative to output, we should expect equities to appreciate from current levels. The challenge I think that we have is trying to gauge what happens to productivity. So margins, as we know, for the S&P 500 in aggregate are running at around 12%. They can be maintained at those levels or improved on rising productivity, for which I see some good signs emerging, then equities will be subject to earnings upgrades, and earnings upgrades will then drive further progress. If, however, wages accelerate, and indeed there is obviously a risk that the Federal Reserve tightens rather than eases policy in the face of rising inflation risks, then I think that we would be looking at a deteriorating environment for corporate earnings that ultimately could lead to a recession and then a bear market. So a lot to play for, I'm afraid.
Only about 30 seconds or so left. Do you think valuations are where they need to be on the market beyond the trade story?
I would say that there is a significant bifurcation between the valuation of good quality companies, many of which are too cheap, and cyclicals, companies dependent on operational and financial leverage, many of which still, to me, look too expensive.
James Bevan, always good getting your insights. Thank you. That's James Bevan, Chief Investment Officer at CCLA Investment Management. And again, reiterating the headlines just crossing the Bloomberg terminal now, sources tell Bloomberg China wants further talks as soon as the end of this month to hammer out the details of what President Trump has called the Phase One trade deal before Chinese leader Xi Jinping agrees to sign to it. And on that news, we're seeing S&P futures fall by 8.5 points. That's a drop of nearly 0.3%. Dow futures are lower by 67 points. That is a drop of 0.25%. And a reminder, the U.S. bond market is closed today. It's Columbus Day. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 5:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are mixed to begin the week, but the U.S. bond market closed for Columbus Day. Investors are weighing signs of progress in U.S.-China trade negotiations. President Trump is touting what he calls Phase One of a deal with China, while Beijing says it wants more talks before signing the agreement. We get more from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
It's a very decidedly cautious tone, and it really contrasts to Trump's recent tweet saying that phase one is almost done and finalized and signed away, and phase two is on its way. Instead, you have Chinese state media declining to call this a deal at all, instead saying that there is a lot of uncertainty ahead. China needs to proceed with caution and proceed with the worst case scenario. And this cautious tone really makes sense considering that in previous rounds of negotiations, China has offered some smaller short-term concessions to Trump, only to have him turn around, slap more tariffs on China in hopes for a broader trade deal.
And Bloomberg's Selena Wang reports China wants additional talks as soon as this month to hammer out details of the Phase One agreement, and futures moved lower following that news.
And meanwhile, the global slowdown continues with data out of China showing imports and exports shrinking more than expected in September. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The slowdown in global trade still having an impact here. Exports down 3.2% from a year earlier, imports declining 8.5%, both numbers weaker than forecast. It leaves a trade surplus of $39.65 billion. Now, for the first 9 months of the year, total trade with the U.S. was down 10.3%. This mini deal just announced may offer some hope over the next few months. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. The pound is weaker as European negotiators warn Prime Minister Boris Johnson that his Brexit plans are not yet good enough to form the basis of a divorce deal. Mark Cudmore is a market strategist for Bloomberg News.
So there's a lot of uncertainty still. I think there's reason for optimism, but the headlines are going to ebb and flow probably until the last moment, which means implied volatility has quite a bit further to climb.
And checking the pound right now, it is at 1.2569 against the dollar.
And on the corporate front, Bloomberg News has learned WeWork is considering a bailout that would hand control of the company to SoftBank. The board at WeWork must now weigh a $5 billion debt package led by J.P. Morgan or handing control of the cash-strapped company to SoftBank.
And as we mentioned, futures took a leg lower with S&P futures now down about 8.5 points. Dow futures down 69 and NASDAQ futures down 29. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says President Trump is ordering the remaining U.S. forces out of northern Syria. Esper on Fox News Sunday.
Now what we're facing is U.S. forces in a trapped between a Syrian-Russian army moving north to take on the Turkish army that is moving south. It puts us in a terrible position, and the protection and safety of our service members comes first to me.
Fox News Sunday can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, President Trump said the U.S. is ready to go with more sanctions on Turkey in response to its military operation into Syria. Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, says that he will resign from his board role in the management company of a private equity fund backed by Chinese state-owned entities. In Iowa yesterday, the former vice president was asked about his son stepping down following President Trump's unproven allegations of corruption.
The statement my son put out today, which I saw when he put it out, I was told there was one being put out. I did not consult with him about what was being put out. In fact, represents the kind of man of integrity he is.
It comes as the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, will testify before Congress this week about the Ukraine controversy. It's down to crunch time for Democratic presidential candidates getting ready for tomorrow's debate in Ohio. 12 candidates will be on stage, and some candidates say that means they may not have enough time to get their messages across. You can hear the debate live on Bloomberg Radio. In Hong Kong, another weekend led to yet another round of protests to mark the 19th straight week of unrest. We get the details from Bloomberg's Ian Marlowe in Hong Kong.
A Hong Kong police officer was slashed in the neck during a confrontation with pro-democracy protesters as violent clashes continued over the weekend. Demonstrators on Sunday orchestrated a series of protests in Hong Kong as they continue to pressure the government to meet their remaining demands. Police said the officer suffered a neck wound after being attacked with a sharp-edged object in a subway station. Authorities fired tear gas in several places over the weekend to disperse crowds who were vandalizing shops and public facilities. In Hong Kong, Ian Marlowe, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Rescue crews are searching for missing people after a typhoon caused serious damage in central and northern Japan. At least 40 people are dead. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the feeling in this ALCS was the Yankees had a better bullpen, so if it was extra innings, they'd have the advantage. But Game 2 in Houston saw the Astros pen shut the Yanks down over 4-3. Yanks had only one hit. Meanwhile, Yankee reliever Adam Ottavino's first pitch of the fifth inning for him was a game-tying home run by George Springer. And Jay Happ's first pitch of the 11th inning was a game-winning opposite field homer by Carlos Correa. Houston won 3-2, tying the series at 1. Justin Verlander, as usual, outstanding, although Aaron Judge did hit a 2-run homer off him. And then Verlander watched nervously.
It was an incredible baseball game. And, you know, it's nerve-wracking. From me being in it, I feel much more calm. And the second I'm out of it, it's a completely different atmosphere. I'm pacing. I can't hardly watch. It's tough.
Aaron Boone used 9 pitchers. His team suffered its first loss of the postseason.
It was a struggle tonight. They are the Houston Astros, and they're tough to score runs off, especially on a night when Verlander, you know, is out there. So, you know, they held us down tonight. That's going to happen. We know this isn't going to be an easy series by any means.
And it won't be easy facing Garrett Cole in Game 3, 4 o'clock tomorrow at the stadium. NLCS Game 3 tonight in D.C. Washington up 2-0 on St. Louis. What a difference a quarterback makes. The Jets scored more points yesterday than they had combined in the 3 games that Sam Darnold missed with mono. They built up a 21-3 lead. They held on, stopped the Cowboys on a game-tying 2-point conversion. First Jets win of the year, 24-22. 49ers beat the Rams in L.A. San Francisco, 4 wins last season, 5-0 this year. Also in L.A. last night, the Steelers upset the Chargers. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashdower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the benefits and dangers of Tesla's autonomous driving experiment. Also in this week's issue, the blowback against Juul as vaping picks up among youth. Lauren Etter wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Juul laid out a marketing campaign that was pretty much designed to attract kids. It was super edgy, it had colorful graphics, really bold. They hired models.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can subscribe at MAG Go, and you can listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. San Francisco-based Lyft is suing New York City. Reuters reports it's an effort to repeal a new rule that limits the time drivers of the ride-sharing company can spend without passengers in Manhattan, south of 96th Street. Rival company Uber has filed a similar lawsuit against the city. New Jersey regulators have denied a key permit for the Penn East Natural Gas Pipeline, the latest in a series of challenges for projects designed to shuttle fuel to the northeast from Appalachian shale basins. The agency denied the certification without prejudice. That means the company can apply again. Home sales in most Connecticut towns have yet to recover from the 2008 recession. An analysis by the Hartford Current of single-family sale prices shows all of the state's eight counties remain below the 2007 peak, with Hartford County making the most progress. Fairfield County is in the deepest hole. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg has been removed as chairman of the board.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about the options being considered for the rescue of money-strapped WeWork.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on the discussions in Brussels over Brexit as EU officials talk down the prospects of a deal.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about the Mack truck strike.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the UAW strike against General Motors continues as both sides debate a pair of proposals.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. In other automotive news, Bloomberg has learned Volkswagen is considering a sale or stock listing for its Lamborghini supercar unit. That would be another step in CEO Herbert Diess's long-term plans for the world's largest automaker. Diess wants to more than double VW's market value, and he's channeling resources to the main VW, Audi, and Porsche units. S&P futures lower by 11.5 points. Dow futures down 95. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flat beds for napping and afternoon tea. Daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures extending losses after China said it wants further talks as soon as the end of October to hammer out the details of a phase one trade deal. The U.S. Treasury market is closed for the Columbus Day holiday. The pound is dropping from a three-month high as traders reassess the prospects of the U.K. securing a Brexit deal this week. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures now down 15 points, Dow futures down 125, and NASDAQ futures down 46. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%, CAC Paris down 1.1%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.6%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.1% on $1.14 to $53.56 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $9.70 at $14.98.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1039 against the dollar. British pound 1.2553. It's down about 0.9% against the dollar. And the yen is at 108.15. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Turkey is moving forward in their military operation against the Kurds in northern Syria. It comes as Defense Secretary Mark Esper says U.S. forces are likely caught between two opposing advancing armies, and he called it a very untenable situation. Esper says President Trump has directed U.S. troops in northern Syria to begin to withdraw as safely and as quickly as possible. Meanwhile, President Trump said the U.S. is ready to go with more sanctions on Turkey in response to its military operation into Syria. In baseball, the AL Championship Series is even at a game apiece. The Astros won 3-2 on a walk-off home run in the 11th inning over the Yankees. The Nationals host the Cardinals tonight for Game 3 of the NLCS. Washington leads that series 2-0. In the NFL, the Jets, the Redskins, Ravens, and 49ers won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
It's 5:49 on Wall Street, and it is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Columnist David Fickling joins us from our Taipei Bureau. And David has a piece this morning on the so-called Phase 1 trade agreement between the U.S. and China. Of course, the president, David, spent most of the weekend touting the deal. Now China just this morning is saying it wants more talks before signing an agreement. What to make of all this?
Yeah, well, I think it's a sign of how far we are really from any sort of lasting agreement, and certainly any lasting, you know, reduction of this to the previous status quo. What we're at now, I think, is the new normal, and it's not a good position that we're in. You know, bear in mind, we're putting off the October tariffs and possibly the December 15th tariff rise on U.S. imports from China. Possibly, you know, that may be deferred as a best case scenario. But even then, you're talking about $90 billion of U.S. imports to China having tariffs, $375 billion of U.S. imports from China having tariffs. So it's fairly small scale stuff. You know, look at the agricultural deal that we're talking about, you know, lifting agricultural imports from 24 to the region of sort of 50 billion. I mean, 12 billion would be just getting soybean trade back to the normal levels that we were before this. You know, agricultural trade could go considerably further than this if you had a real deal. And I think it's a sign of how little that there is that this is what all we're touting, really.
Are there any signs on the Chinese side, in your view, that they would be open to increasing agricultural purchases beyond what they've already said they'd be willing to do?
Look, there was a study by Iowa State University last year that reckoned you could add about $53 billion of exports from the U.S. to China on the agricultural front if you just reduce some of the restrictions that are in place there. And some of these are pretty, pretty irrelevant. You know, chicken exports are restricted because of avian influenza, beef by mad cow disease. So there's certainly, you know, there's room to go further there. But I think the question is, you know, if there's appetite to do so. Clearly, China is suffering from the African swine fever outbreak. There's been a big cull. The price of pork is up 50%. There is a need for more protein in the country. So I can understand why there would be more of that. But beyond this, we've heard very little about increased trade of other things. You know, grains like, rice and corn and wheat. These are controlled very strictly by China. And that's really barely been discussed on the table in these talks.
And in the meantime, we're seeing a lot more protectionist moves from China, even with all that in the background, given the tensions in Hong Kong and this beef that China now has with the NBA in the U.S. I mean, what to make of all that?
I think it's really interesting how that's going to play into this because, you know, bear in mind in the background throughout this process, a lot of the U.S. business community has been pushing for a deal and pushing for a more conciliatory approach. They've wanted to trade more with China, but. You know, what we've been seeing with China overplaying its hand around the NBA, what we've been seeing with Activision Blizzard, I think that's probably going to give a lot of businesses second thoughts. You know, since Google pulled out of China in 2010, a lot of U.S. businesses in China, I think, have felt that they can sit on the fence and play both sides and do well from it. And that's really been thrown into question by China's actions in recent weeks. And I think that's going to increasingly be a problem.
Bloomberg Opinion columnist David Fickling with us from our Taipei Bureau. David, thank you for this. And you can read more from Bloomberg Opinion, including David Fickling's latest column, This Band-Aid Trade Deal is as Good as It Gets, and much more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or Bloomberg Terminal customers. Just type OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Fur products will soon be a thing of the past in California. Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a bill making it illegal to sell, trade, or manufacture new fur products in the state as of 2023. The statewide ban will be the first in the nation. And a bill that would have set the most stringent thresholds for recycled materials in drink bottles in the country has died, also in California. In that case, the governor vetoed a bill that would have required plastic drink bottles to be composed of at least 50% recyclable material by
by 2030.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani getting drawn deeper into President Trump's impeachment inquiry. Two of Giuliani's associates have now been indicted on campaign finance charges and four criminal charges, including conspiracy, falsifying records, and lying to the Federal Election Commission. For more on what's ahead, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with former federal prosecutor and current partner at McCarter & English, Robert Mintz.
So, Bob, people often hear campaign finance charges and dismiss them as something that's not that serious. Just how serious are these charges?
Well, these are very serious charges, and they carry potential lengthy prison sentences if somebody's convicted. And essentially what federal law prohibits here are foreign campaign contributions to American politicians at any level of government. And the idea behind this is simply that we don't want foreign governments to be interfering in our electoral process, whether that's on the state or federal level.
How much pressure will they be under to flip and give information perhaps on Giuliani?
Well, like any defendants who've been charged with a federal crime and are facing significant jail time, one way out of their troubles is to decide to join the government's team and cooperate. That could essentially buy their way out of jail. It really depends on the individuals, how much jail time they're facing, and whether or not they're willing to roll the dice and take their case to trial, knowing that if they lose, they'll wind up in jail.
House Democrats have subpoenaed the two associates for their communications with Giuliani, and they've also subpoenaed Giuliani for his communications with them, among other things. Are there any grounds for them to oppose handing over the documents?
Well, the two individuals that have now been indicted are unlikely to cooperate with any congressional investigations. They're now facing federal criminal charges, and they will undoubtedly assert their Fifth Amendment right and perhaps also assert a Fifth Amendment right against turning over any documents. Rudy Giuliani, on the other hand, is in a different situation. He is a central witness in this criminal case. He is now, while not charged himself with any criminal wrongdoing, he is just a little bit closer to individuals who have been charged. Giuliani has acknowledged that these two individuals who have been charged in this election interference case worked with him as he attempted to try to get the Ukrainian government to investigate the Bidens. So they are linked with him in a way that puts him in greater peril were he decide to testify freely before Congress. But he certainly has to be giving serious thought to the fact that he is being drawn into this criminal investigation. And it also raises the interesting question of whether or not Giuliani can continue to act as an attorney for the president now that he is at least a witness in this federal criminal prosecution.
And that's Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter & English, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. We do have these breaking headlines. The latest on the Nobel Prize in Economics. It has been awarded to Abhijit Banerjee, Esther Duflo, and Michael Kremer for their experimental approach to alleviating global poverty. Again, the Nobel Prize in Economics awarded to the three. And right now, futures are lower. S&P futures down 14 points. Dow futures down 116. NASDAQ futures are down 44. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.